You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be here again these days. I guess we've had the privilege of going to church with y'all on Zoom. We came home from Texas on March the 19th. And I don't think we went out again until around July. And we enjoyed it. After traveling for 28 years, it was nice to be at home all that time. And do not feel sorry for me. I should be at around 39 or 40 meetings for the year, but I'm only on number 20. But when I got home, I went to live streaming on Facebook, and as my son, oldest son, said, he said, "Daddy's been living out of the mailbox for years." I want to report to you this morning that God of the mailbox is doing well. He is doing well, and I thank him for it and praise him for it. Appreciate all this church body has done for us over the years, and we do not take that for granted, nor your pastor. It is in my heart in these five services to look at five of the six people that have spoken to me in the Bible that had a relationship or an experience with a tree. And I want to preach to you on being rightly related to the tree. I don't think you'll ever do that. This is off deep. I don't know if you can get this. It'll be way over your head. I don't think you'll ever do that until you get at his feet. That is the reason why, Brother James, I said to you the other day, the confirmation of Calvary's tree you mentioned in your text was the direction that I wanted to go in these days. And I want to begin this morning in Genesis chapter 3. And let's talk about our Papa Adam and our Granny Eve. They found themselves behind a tree. And it was the tree of the fallen. The tree of the fallen. Genesis 3 and verse 8 says, "And they," talking about your Papa Adam and your Granny Eve, "they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves." It's an interesting word. "To become out of sight." To become out of sight. They're going to play hide and seek. Where are they going to play hide and seek, preacher? It says, "And Adam and Eve and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." I was interested in the little word "amongst." In the middle, or the word can be translated behind a tree. Don't give them a hard time. They are your representatives. They are my representatives. Can you imagine trying to hide from the all-seeing eye of God? Percy Ray, the great preacher of yesterday, he said, "For them to hide from God was like standing behind a broomstick playing peekaboo with God." Some of you are good at it. Hiding behind a broomstick, playing peekaboo with the all-seeing eye of Almighty God. Watch how this will fold out if you have the Bible. I notice in chapter 2 of Genesis, in verse number 9, there's the trees of this garden. There are some trees mentioned. He says in verse number 9, he says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for fruit, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Mentions two trees in this garden. Can't help but believe that they were hiding behind one of them. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, moral knowledge, right and wrong, a religious code of morality. Some of you sitting here this morning really think you're going to heaven because you've given up your pants, or you've given up your cussing, or you've given up your smoking. You're playing peekaboo with an almighty God that sees through all of that. Then there was the tree of life, perpetual, unending breath, never quit breathing. What would be the extent of making a choice between either one of these trees? He says in verse 16, he says, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." I did not know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. It's a very interesting word. The word literally means dead and dying. Dead and dying. So now, all of Adam and Eve's descendants come out of their mama's womb dead spiritually. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. You can take them down to Romans Road, to German Road, and the French Road. But they came out. That little baby you're holding is D-E-A-D, dead. And is going to hell if God doesn't come by. But also they're dying. They're going to return to the dust. Let us be careful this morning in mistaking the path to heaven. The path to eternal life is about a moral code, a religious dedication. Be careful in giving your testimony that it is all about what you did, your profession, your calling on God, your little date, your little time, your little praise. It must be all about God. Or it may be this morning you're sitting here and you have partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're still hell-bound sitting in a Baptist church. Trees mentioned in this garden. But I see in the text there is a test mentioned. There is a choice given about these trees. Adam and Eve were born innocent. They were not born perfect. They had the ability to choose. We were in Adam's loins when he made his choice. Once he made his choice, he chose for all of us. And choosing days were over. You still can choose. What can I choose? A black truck over a red truck. Green carpet over red carpet. Pretty girl or a pretty boy over an ugly girl or an ugly boy. But that's the extent of it. There's a test mentioned. They chose morality. Good old boy. Good old girl, over perpetual life, never stop bleeding, knowledge of religious morality and self-righteousness will put a good person in hell. The knowledge of good and evil will put a sinner in hell. You say, well, preacher, I think I'm a good person. God never saves any good people. He sends all good people to hell. If you're here this morning and you're a good person, you're going to hell. The only people God ever saves is sinners, and he gets them all off the bottom of the deck. I love the hound out of that. Are you listening to me this morning? Charles Haddon Spurgeon said when God saved him, he saved him from two things. He said he saved him from his sin and his own self-righteousness. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, I doubted many times what I had done in my salvation. But he said, I never doubted what he had done for my salvation. So now, I have been left coming out of my mother's womb to enter into what Paul says, that I am now spiritually dead in trespasses. I am a corpse in my own sin. Paul says, I have been placed in a state where the natural man receiveth not the things of God. John said, in order to enter into the realm of being saved, I must be born again. But I have a problem when I come out of my mother's womb. I'm in a quandary. What is it, preacher? I was born spiritually blind. I can't see. I was born spiritually deaf. I can't hear. I was born spiritually dumb. I have no understanding of spiritual things. And I was born dead. I cannot even cease from my sin. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, you can look at the order, quickening in verse number 2, mercy in verse number 5, and then faith comes in verse 9 and 10. Honey, your faith did not save you. His regeneration is what gave you faith. Do not think for a moment it's faith and then regeneration. Oh no, honey, it's quickening and regeneration and then faith comes. Are you listening to me this morning? You can believe in the tooth fairy. You can believe in Santa Claus. You can believe in the Easter bunny. But you can't believe in God apart from regeneration. Matter of fact, I come across this not long ago. It blew my mind. I was reading a little Matthew Henry. What a great theologian he was. He said, almost without exception, every time in the New Testament the word believe is mentioned, it's never a verb. It's always a noun. Believing is not something you do. It is something God declared you to be. He made you a believer. Now, this is awful deep. This may be way out in left field for you to understand. If he declared you a believer, what do you think your first agenda will be? Hello, believe. I love that, don't you? The test is mentioned. But I notice there's a temptation in this garden. I notice in chapter 3 and verse number 1, Moses goes back now and gives us a running account of how all of this tree situation happened. And he says in verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I notice here in this temptation, there was a master of disguise. He says this serpent was more subtle. I was interested in that little word, subtle. It means able to disguise oneself. Now, please forgive me. I do not believe that this snake was a snake. crawling on the ground. Because if a snake comes around, I'm going to make a back door up there. Oh no. He has disguised himself. Matter of fact, Paul said he had the ability to disguise himself as an angel of light. Honey, he can get real pretty if he needs to. Are you listening to him? He's a master of disguise. Matter of fact, Satan has the ability to chase you, run you, and go past you. Get in a briar patch, have you chase him in the briar patch, come out the other side and help you look for him. He's a master of disguise. Matter of fact, we're living in a day and time when Satan does not even disguise himself anymore. And yet, most see him not. Are you listening to me? Master of disguise. Matter of fact, Jude said that Michael, we're talking about an archangel now. We're talking about somebody could destroy 180,000 men, one swipe. And he's arguing with the devil over the body of Moses. And he won't even get in a fight with Lucifer. He says, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Wow. Master of disguise. He has come into the garden. I notice there is a master of deception. Verse number one, he questions what God has said. Aren't we questioning what God says? Does God really think that thing of homosexuality and lesbian? Does he really not like that? My son's a Navy chaplain. I was talking to him yesterday. He said, a boy come up to him yesterday, and he said, do you really think that the Bible's against homosexuality? He said, yep, God hates it. Kept on walking. That does settle it, doesn't it? But he was, did God really say that? Are you listening to me? Master of deception. Matter of fact, in verse number 3, he says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall... Time out! Hold on! They don't put a spin on it now. It's like the regular news. They're spinning it. He never said anything about touching it. That's a man-made addition. Satan's making a little addition to it. The Bible tells us, verses 5 and 6, that he says, oh, you eat of that knowledge of good and evil. He said, you'd be like God. Humanizing us, self and esteeming us, making us think good of ourselves. Wow, we're little gods. He's a master of deception. The Bible tells us in chapter 2 and verse 25, in the midst of all this, they realized that they were naked. Wow. Ain't got no clothes on here in the garden. In chapter 3 and verse number 7, they said, man, we need to cover this stuff up. So they make them some fig leaves, a little skirt. Don't you know that immediately after they picked them fig leaves and made their little skirts, those fig leaves are starting to turn brown already and starting to roll up on the end. It reminds me of some of these gals. They know good and well they got a short skirt on and they constantly pulling on it. When God comes around, I guarantee you that. Have I got it all covered up back there? Are you listening to me? Master of deception. I was thinking about this fall, this choice. I always feel so sorry for ladies because they get the blunt end of this thing, that it all began with you partaking of the fruit. Please forgive me. Some time ago, I read the Bible, and I took the heat off of you, women. And it happened in verse 6 of chapter 3. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." And that's where you get all the
bless God, the woman never took of that fruit, we wouldn't have fallen.
Read the rest of the verse. "And gave also her unto her husband, Rutrow, he's standing right there while she's eating."
Why didn't he tell her to stop?
He's wanting to see what happens to her. See if she's going to hit the dirt or not. Are you listening to me? Oh, both of them now are as guilty as the other. The Bible tells us that they enter into a curse. I'm talking about the temptation in the garden. Verse 16, it is the same curse that everybody in this building has been cursed with. What is it, preacher? Well, you read it for yourself. He says unto the woman, he says, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrows. Thy conception in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children." Any lady here that's bore a child this morning knows that it's not a picnic. That's not what I see. It says a part of the curse is, says, "And that thy desire shall be to thy husband." It sounds like in our English Bible, "thy desire shall be to thy..." Woo! My desires will always be to my man. Until you look at the word desire. We get our little word manipulation from it. Every woman in this building came out of your mother's womb with a spirit of manipulation in your heart to get a man to do what you want him to do. Hello. Part of the curse. But men, don't get too far away. Notice the rest of the curse. "And he shall rule over thee." We get our little word dictator from the word rule. Every man in this building, you come out of your mama's womb with a spirit of dictatorship. Bless God, she's going to do what I want her to do. Now, this is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. If you put those two in a marital relationship in a home, and neither one of them ever get at Jesus' feet and give up their dictatorship or their manipulation, it shall be hell on earth. And I don't doubt some of you are living in hell on earth, sitting here this morning, because you will not give up your manipulation. You will not give up your dictatorship. You think it is very important to you. It's a part of the curse. It's a part of your peekaboo plan. Hey, how's that working out for you? Some of you gray heads, you've got her down good now. You can really dictate. You can really manipulate. But until you get at the cross at Jesus' feet and both of you bow those to him, there'll be a relationship like you have never, ever known before. Are you listening to me? Temptation in the garden. You're still here, aren't you? Notice the transformation in the garden. I notice there's a transforming master. says in chapter 3 and verse number 8. They got their fig skirts on now. You're pulling them down. And the Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. That's always amazed me. I thought you always heard a voice talking. They heard this voice walking. I was interested in the word voice. We get our word from it. Word. That's amazing, isn't it? For John in his gospel says, in the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So here, someone comes walking in the garden and they said, it's a Word walking in the garden. I was thought it was interesting, the derivative of this word, voice, is the bleeding cry of a dying animal. So, why'd they go hide themselves? Because they heard this. Bah! 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 He pulling the skirts down, trying to hide. They've heard a voice. It says they heard it in the cool of the day. A light breeze on a hot day. Isn't it John told us that the Holy Ghost is like the wind that blows? Oh, the wind has come into the garden. Isn't that what we need this week? We need the wind of God to blow over us. And some of you may get so convicted that you hide and try to pull your little leaf skirts down from Almighty God. I'm talking about the transforming master. But I see also the transforming manifestation. The Bible says in verses 20 and 21, Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Seems like in verses 18 and 19 that this voice stops. They don't hear it anymore. And I can't help but believe that maybe Adam and Eve stuck their head out. And I know the Bible doesn't say, it's just my crazy idea. They're peekabooing out now. Divorce stopped. That bleeding sound has stopped. And they look out, they're peekabooing both sides of the tree. And I can't help but believe that they see God standing there with blood dripping off of his hands. He's done killed a lamb. And he strips them naked. He takes them old leaves, they're worthless anyhow. They've been hiding behind. And he clothes them in those lamb skins. Please forgive me. I know this is nowhere in the Bible. I believe that those coats were as white as snow. And I don't believe until the day they died that they ever got dirty. They were always white as snow. And I believe if there was somehow, some way, I know they done gone back to the dirt, but I believe if we were able to dig them up this morning, they are laying somewhere in the dirt and they still got them coats on. Because that's what he did for me. He robed me in his righteousness. You can't see it this morning. I'm believing it by faith. But one day it'll be a blessed reality. I've been robed in Christ. Transforming manifestation. I close with the truth because of this garden. The truth of the first Adam. Says in verse 24 of chapter 3, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You say, preacher, he robed them. There's what in the world is he going to put them out of the garden for now? He wants us to see that every one of Adam and Eve's descendants were born outside the garden. And the only way you can get to the tree of life is there's a flaming sword. And it'll hack you and damn you to hell if you try to enter in with the leaves of your religion. The first Adam, all he could offer you is dirt, death, and damn. That's all he could offer you. Romans chapter 5 said, truth of the first Adam. But the truth of the last Adam, Christ, he took the flaming swords of judgment. He has opened the gate wide, and now he allows you and I to tell every person, ho, anybody is thirsty, whosoever will, let him come and take of the tree of life freely and live. I asked you this morning in closing, are you rightly related to the tree? Are you still hiding behind the leaves of your religion? Do you know anything about the words to this song, Rock of Ages, cled for me, let me hide myself in thee? Are you hiding behind a broomstick with the leaves of your own self-righteousness? Or are you hiding in the cleft of the rock? Let the waters and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin, what a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I'm giving up my fig leaves. I'm giving up my self-righteousness. I'm giving up my standards and convictions. I'm clinging to Calvary and nothing else. It's the only thing that will rightly relate you to him. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cled for me, let me hide myself in thee. Oh, my friend, this morning, do not step out into eternity to meet Almighty God robed in the little fig leaves of thinking you're a good old boy or a good old girl. I promise you it will not go well for you. I thought it was interesting. I never had seen this before. I ran across it recently. Most song books only give three verses to Augustus Toplady's song, Rock of Ages. But he wrote a fourth verse to that song. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee, dressed in hopelessness, look to you for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Oh, I wonder this morning if you're hiding in your fig leaves, or are you hiding in the cleft of the rock? Adam and Eve found themselves behind the tree of the fallen. We're standing, our heads are bowed. Preachers are coming.
Brian, you come. Let's sing in a moment. The Word came walking through and said, Adam, because he was wanting to get at Adam's feet. He was wanting to deal in Adam's life what needed to be dealt with. We began the service in John 13. They had come to the table and they were eating. But the next thing they knew, he's got up and he's got down to deal with their feet. We prayed for months and months for this meeting. We are at the table, and the Word has come walking through this morning to deal with your need. If you will but get at his feet and let him deal with you this morning, my, that tree can come alive in your heart and in your soul. No accident how this meeting is beginning. Because unless he washes you and you allow him to wash you, you'll have no part of him. You ought to listen. You ought to mind the Holy Ghost this morning as Brother Brian leads us.
God of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
I'm glad there's a place.
Let the water from thy wounded side which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone.
Are you hearing him call your name this morning?
Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring.
He was interested in
simply
Adam.
To
why, he washed the feet of Jesus. He's interested
while
in you.
While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
We're gonna sing it through again in a moment. Don't think that last verse, while I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close. Don't think that that whole verse is all about that last moment. You're drawing your fleeting breath. I'm drawing my fleeting breath right now, this very moment. You ought to mind the Holy Ghost today. Because if you're ever saved, if you ever get washed from head to toe, if you ever have your feet washed by him, it'll be when he comes by and you surrender unto him. You ought to listen this morning. Sing it again, Brother Brian.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
That's better than being hid behind a tree.
Water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed. Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? sin could not atone.
Nor can fig leaves, nor can church attendance.
In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Amen, amen. I appreciate the faithful preaching of God's word, amen. He knows what we need, when we need it. He knows how to come and speak and deal with our feet, our hearts, our lives. I hope and pray you'll be praying for the remaining services of this meeting, amen. That God would truly do a work in our hearts and in our lives, amen. You pray for the man of God. Invite folks to come. But you be certain you're at his feet and willing to let him do with your feet whatever needs to be done. If it is so, we'll experience his presence. Can't shake hands. Tell somebody you're glad to see him in the Lord's house. Speak to Brother Tom, Brother Sister Beth. 6 o'clock evening service. Go a-praying. Come a-praying. You're at liberty if you've got at his feet.